UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
All right, guys, it is Fast Break Friday here at the ESPN 680 105.7 studios and also airing in Lexington with our friends at ESPN 1300. But we're going to go out to the U of L press conference brought to you by Class Act Federal Credit Union. It's like straight A's for your money. Jordan Wara at the podium now.
You know, it felt good. I had a few nights where my shot wasn't falling like it usually does. I was just happy to get back on track. I felt like I was doing things that are helping the team. If I wasn't, Coach Mack wouldn't be playing me. So I definitely feel like I was doing, certain things that were helping the team.
What's your take on coming into the season, ACC Player of the Year, by the way, what does that tell you from your perspective that this team is growing?
It just means the team is growing, really well. Teams, scouting report, I think it still is stop me. That's their main focus. They focus so much on me. They don't help off me, at all, really. They face guard me a lot. So, that just opens up things for other people. With not a lot of help side, guys on the team are doing a great job, getting the lane, finishing, knocking down open shots, creating for each other. So it's really everybody's growing in a good way, and we're moving in a positive direction.
Pass here, or do you get more greedy? What's the
It kind of depends on just the flow of the game. In a game like that, I was just kind of early on helping the team stay in it. They scored the ball really well early on. First half, it was 45-43 going into halftime, I'm pretty sure. And then the second half is just, doing my best to keep doing what I'm doing and, just doing whatever the team needs me to do to win.
Are you conscious that numbers are getting up there on a given night?
Sometimes my teammates get in my ears and tell me. But the main thing is just winning the game. That's kind of what I'm worried about at the time.
Jordan, have you gotten better of trying to get open when you don't have the ball, kind of scoring when you don't have it, getting yourself in spots?
I have. Sometimes it's better for me to stay in one spot. Because, like I said, the teams aren't really helping off me, and if they're not going to help off me, it creates a lot of opportunity for other guys to get open. And, like I said, if they beat their man when there's no help, it's a lot easier buckets for our team. But I think I've been working on it a lot, getting open, practicing with that kind of pressure on me. It's helped me a lot. I said the other day, I think people are all starting to, fit into their roles really well, and people are starting to step up. Sam and DJ, are doing a great job, getting better every day. Darius has been playing great lately. Certain guys just stepping up. It's good that people are starting to get better. Now, hopefully we can just keep it going that way, so we'll be all right there in March. I think just being smart and getting better on the defensive end. He's just been getting better on defense, and that's why, he's been able to play more. We talk about it sometimes. Obviously we talk about, winning the conference. That's what we want to do, regular season champs. And that's kind of what we're focused on right now, and it's kind of both ways. We take it day to day, and the fact that, we're taking it one game at a time. We know we got to go through. We have 10 more games regular season. We got to, you know, taking one game at a time. And the goal is to win a AC regular season championship. You know, with that comes probably a high seed in the tournament and, you know, so on and so on. So. Yeah, it's a little crazy thinking about it. We still have 10 games left, and you know it feels like we've already played almost a full season. So, but you know it's good. You know, if you love basketball, you're gonna love to play. So, you know it's all right.
Total for last year. Have you done anything in that regard to change or upgrade?
No, I think it's just. You know, coaches is telling everybody, you know, a big thing is crashing offensive rebounds. So I think they're just, you know, it's just kind of a main focus of our team. So
nothing about your role that's changed in that regard?
No, not really.
Or do you know anything at all about NC State and, I guess, the team this year?
Yeah, we did some scouting. You know, obviously they have a coach that was here, you know, before. We played them last year and the year before. The team's similar to last year. You know, Markel Johnson's a really good player, kind of makes them go. You know, C.J. Bryce, you know, they have a bunch of pieces. We're just going to have to be ready to go, lock in on defense, and, you know, give them our best shot.
Anything else for Jordan? Thank you.
Fast Break Friday. We are back, and we're taking a little break between the player press conference and the coaches press conference. Chris Mack's press conference is brought to you by Class Act Federal Credit Union. It's like straight A's for your money. And if you call on to text somebody, who do you text?
Yes. Text ESPN to 502-212-3167 for a
There you go. Mike Pratt's here. I'm here. We're waiting for Chris. Chris will be up in a minute. It's 50-50 whether my voice is going to survive this weekend. We're hanging in. We're hoping. We can
Where
only
do you play
hope.
This weekend?
We go to NC State tomorrow. State. I get to see my brother Nick. That'll be nice.
There you go.
And then Super Bowl Sunday, I got to fly to Kansas, Texas and Kansas for the Monday night game. And then come back and then do Louisville and Wake Forest.
Texas has been a big disappointment.
I'm sorry for him. He's such a good guy.
Is he? I've never
Chuck
met him.
Chuck is a really, really nice guy, but there's no getting around it. They just, I don't know why they've got no momentum whatsoever. They just are.
Well, the handwriting's on the wall because they fired a guy with the record of Rick Barnes. And, you know, they act like they're a football school, but they want to do well. They want to do well in all sports. They got a terrific
their own TV
athletic,
network, for God's sake.
Yeah, they've got a terrific athletic program. And if you fired Rick Barnes, been to the Final Four, was a lot of Sweet 16s, Elite Eights. I would say Shaka. He's under scrutiny.
Well, the things that, you know, it's bad enough if you're getting beat regularly, but when they're getting embarrassed, like I mean, the West Virginia game was just they were down like 50. I mean, a conference game you're down 50 on.
Ooh, that gets you fired.
Yeah,
right
that'll definitely get you in trouble. Speaking of Rick Barnes, how about the official running him down, then trying to blame Rick hit him. That guy should not ref again this year. I don't know what's happened to him. Is he still working?
Mike Nance, I don't know if he's still working or not. And I agree, we were talking earlier. I mean, it was like, what was – Barnes just standing there, and he's not a big abuser of officials, from what I understand and what I've observed. He'll get up and voice his opinion, but he's not a guy that rants and raves right at him all the time. And it looked like this was premeditated on Nance's part. I just, if you looked at it, he went right for him, and Rick was standing there, and you had to ask, is it a block or a charge? I thought it was a charge. He got him with the chicken wing when he went by, too. He should be suspended.
I guess nothing's happened yet, which is very odd. He's spoken with the office, according to Mike Wilson in the Knoxville News, who said Rick Barnes had an initial discussion about the official who bumped him. He spoke with the SEC office, I guess, 2 days ago, and the Tennessee coach said, I had no doubt that they heard what I was thinking, that my thoughts were heard. He said, when you do need to communicate with the SEC office, they're as good or better than anybody I've ever been around, Barnes said. What makes them so good is they give you a trust level. You know they're going to look at what you said and try and be objective. So I get the impression that he feels confident that if somebody just looks at it, I mean, you read the guy's lips and he's saying,
yeah,
you bumped me.
Yeah.
What did you just bump me? And Rick is like, I'm just standing here. Yeah. I mean, so if they see that video, it's going to be very difficult to think that that guy shouldn't work again this year. He really shouldn't.
Well, but, you know, in a league where they allow a guy to coach his team who offered a strong-ass offer or made a strong-ass offer.
Well, that's true.
And he's got a heck of a team down at LSU. They're good. And he gets the coach, so I would imagine that Mike Nance might miss a couple assignments, but I don't think he's going anywhere.
I would be concerned, though, if I were LSU, because they have won an inordinate number of one-possession games, and those are
– Indeed.
I mean, that's – I hate to say it. People don't like to hear it, but that's a lot of luck, to be honest with you. I mean, it may not be luck to get you in that position, but the actual decide whether the game is won or lost by a possession, you got to have a lot of lucky breaks, and they've gotten every one, evidently.
Some years you get those, Bob. You remember coaching some years, and then some years you can't buy one. But playing a close game, and you got to shoot foul shots down the stretch, and it might be a 4 to 6-7 point game. That is acceptable, but those buzzer beater games, one possession games, got to make you think.
Well, I'm trying to punch up their standings. By the way, have you seen? Oh, now I forgot the guy's name already. Dang it. It's a really odd name. There's another site now for us number lovers. There's not only Ken Palm and Sagarin, there's this other guy, Bart something or other. Bart,
I did not. His name? I did not know that. No.
Bart Torvik. T-O-R-V-I-K. Bart Torvik. And he's got a website. Fortunately, it doesn't look like he takes himself as seriously, but it's Torvik Basketball. And he has his own ratings and rankings, and I don't know if he winds up with the same, efficiency numbers. Like if he gets them the same way as Ken Palm, but it looks relatively credible when you look at how he's done it.
How do you spell his name again?
T-O-R-V-I-K. His name is Bart Torvik, but the website I think is Torvik Basketball. I just learned about it yesterday, and I was noodling around on it last night. Looks interesting. I think I'm going to try and keep a composite of Sagarin and Ken Palm and this guy and see what they say about teams. Did you find it yet?
No, I'm going.
All right, let's see if I can find it for you here as well. Torvik.
T-O-R-V-I-K. Okay.
Torvik Basketball.
Got it.
See him?
Yep.
I mean, you look
at Torvik.
Yeah, I don't know what his credentials are. Those guys never tell you their credentials. I mean, but he does list a whole bunch of.
He's the numbers guy. I'm sure.
Just he's a
like
numbers
baseball
guy.
Baseball was taken over by analytics.
I mean, he. The thing I like is he says about rank. Whatever he said about analyzing and breaking down data and fun. So that's good. You don't normally see the numbers guys talk about fun. They're usually so serious about what they're doing. So that gave me some hope. But
well, I see where he's got West Virginia as the 8th best team, yep. And they just got pounded by Texas Tech the other night.
Well, so. I don't know if he's changed it. It should be up to the date, though. I don't know. He's got Kansas first, Duke second, Dayton third. That should just warm. You must like this guy already.
I've got Dayton in mind right up there about 5 or 6.
Gonzaga's 4, Baylor's 5, San Diego State is 6, Michigan State 7, West Virginia 8, Louisville 9, Arizona 10. I give him some credit for Arizona because I'll tell you, when they're good, Mike, they can be really good. The problem is they're not always good. But when they
watched the other night against Washington last night,
that's the game I was supposed to have.
Yeah,
thank God I didn't have to go. I'd never would have made it the way I feel now. But we had them against Colorado last week, and they look great. And then they go get beat pretty handily by Arizona State. Now they come back and win on the road at Washington. So they're all over the map. But when they're good, they're pretty good.
Washington's got the big guy, Isaiah Stewart. I like him a lot. He's the next level guys like him a lot. They got a McDaniel guy, Jaden McDaniels, who was an all-world player out of high school, supposedly. He's really been a struggle.
All right, let's go to the podium. Chris Mack's there right now.
Right, it'll be different for us because he didn't play a year ago. He's the focal point of so much of what they do. You know, he gets in the lane, and obviously he's one of the best assist men in the league and really a dynamic playmaker that I think sets up other guys for shots. But, you know, Kevin does a really good job of allowing his guys to play with a lot of freedom on offense. They got one of the best offenses in the entire country, and I think it, you know, really starts with.
He's always done a good job of it, of getting scoring when he doesn't have the ball, getting himself in spots to be effective.
I think he's gotten better in that area. You have to, with the attention that's paid to him this year. And not that he didn't have attention paid to him last year, but, he's certainly more of a known coming in. And so he has to work for his points. And, you know, we've talked about that, whether it's offensive rebounding, running the floor, hard setup cuts. He's going to get every team's best defender, like I've talked about, after a lot of games. So, if he's going to, produce points for us, they're not going to come easy.
Have you seen the scouting reports on you guys change a little bit since other guys have stepped up and shown their ability?
I haven't seen other teams' scouting reports, so I wouldn't be able to answer that. But, I think, the nice thing is, when you have a team that, has several guys that are capable of having a really good night on offense, it makes the challenge greater for the opponent. We've played a lot of teams like that as well. So, I know how we feel going into a game where, they've got an inside attack. They've got a couple guys in the perimeter that can hurt you. They push the ball. So, and that's the type of challenge, quite honestly, we have tomorrow.
Are you more likely to play inside out or outside in?
I think that, our philosophy is always to try to get the ball in the lane, no matter what guys are shooting percentage-wise for our team, because I think that's the way that you open up the best shots for everybody on your team, whether it's, posting up Steve or diving Malik to the rim or getting Dwayne Sutton to play downhill and creating driving opportunities that result in kick-out threes, I think that's when you converge the defense is when you get the ball in the lane. So that's really the focal point that we usually have for offense every single year.
Has that changed as David has emerged as a guy who can penetrate?
Well, David's really good at getting into the lane. I think Darius is really good at getting to the lane, but David has great size, and I've talked about his ability to sort of see plays develop. It's a challenge, and David has great size to finish in the lane, as I think, you guys have seen. He puts his shoulder on people and gets 3- and 4-foot shots because, he's one-on-one at times in there. And when he's one-on-two, he generally tries to make the right play. And, again, he's learning. I mean, he gets in there sometimes and takes a tough shot or a bad shot maybe early into the clock, where he turns the ball over, but, those mistakes, I think, are going to disappear over time.
Is his offensive rebounding length and size, or what is it? Because he has a knack to get.
He really does. He has a knack. I think, you look at his dimensions. He's 6'5", a couple hundred pounds. He's got long arms. He's athletic. And then he doesn't have necessarily an opponent who's used to blocking him out. Most point guards get back when the shot goes up. And just glad that we made the right decision early on. I've never sent a point guard to the glass. Even when I had Edmund Sumner at Xavier, we asked him to get back. Samaje Christian, 6'4", athletic, both guys have played in the NBA. We asked him to get back. And so that was I don't want to say a tough decision, but it was a debated decision. And he really helps us on the offensive glass, as you can see.
He's getting more and more minutes. Is there a reason he's not starting?
No. I think that it really, to me, doesn't matter who starts. I mean, if that excites people, great. It's who finishes. You know, it's who plays the majority of the minutes. And, you know, I think we had a good thing going. Haven't lost. So if I feel like there's a way to make our team better, then I'll do that. But, you know, right now I think that we're playing at a really good level. And, you know, it's nice to have experience on the floor when you start a game. He's become a much better player, really, in every area of the game. You know, decision making, scoring, defense. I mean, you name it. I think Darius is just an overall a much better player than he was a year ago. And you know, give him all the credit in the world. You know, he's a guy we really rely on. He can play on and off the ball. Obviously, with the emergence of David, he's playing less on the ball, but it doesn't make him any less effective.
All that you might have to upgrade the non-conference schedule just for because you're not getting the points out of the ACC you normally do?
I mean, I think this is a one-off with you know, everybody, you know, just you know, losing a lot of experience and a lot of talent, you know, from last year to this year. I think historically, as you look at our league, you know, we generally have a lot of teams that are vying for NCAA tournament bids. We have teams with all conference players back. You know, you have great recruiting classes. So, you know, we're always going to play a tough non-conference schedule, you know, one that I think prepares our team for the rigors of the ACC. But, you know, we're not going to panic over maybe, you know, not the best year when it comes to our league.
Chris, when it comes to conference, do you want that to be one of the goals for your team?
What's that?
When it comes to, you know, the possibility of winning the conference, do you want that to be one of the goals for your team?
It's always a goal of ours.
Anything else, anyone?
Thanks.
Thank you. Oh, just put a cough drop in, and now he leaves. Because I just had a texter say, who is this horse guy talking to Mike? So, yeah. Sorry, I'm doing the best I can here.
Why do they call it horse? Like, do you sound like a horse when you...
It's not spelled the same, so I don't
know. Yeah, I know.
I don't know.
Because that's the case. Lie and say you're American. Pharaoh.
I took the first seat available, right? And was close to you, and you said, you better not sit there. So I got up and moved two chairs down very quickly.
That's why you moved.
He went down the other end of the room. I felt like a leper.
He was in the hallway just shouting.
I don't blame you, though. It's not fun, and it happens every damn year. I have a game tomorrow, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, Monday, next Wednesday. I think I have one Wednesday and Thursday, and I'm going to have no voice, which is a detriment when you're a radio commentator.
It's the airplanes that recirculated air.
It absolutely is.
If you get run down, okay, because you're getting up, catch an early flight to get back and do this gig from a game. So you're doing that. Or we get back late. We get back at 2 or 2:30 in the morning. By the time I get to the hotel, it's 3, 3:15, whatever. And you're run down because, you know, you don't get your full 7-8 hours. You get run down. You're susceptible at that point.
You are. There's no question about that. We got a lot of things to talk about. Boy, this is getting worse. Getting very worse here.
Worser.
It's getting worser and worser.
Adam Kaplan will join the program at 12:30 to preview the Super Bowl.
Yay.
We'll have a guest promoting a cool pole vaulting event going on in the city.
Yay.
Don't know where that is. There's a lot of things moving around. We have a Coach Cal presser coming up. It's scheduled for 1:45, as I'm sure Mike knows. Coach Cal sometimes is a little late. So, we'll see where that is. Jerry Brewer of the Washington Post will join, talk a little Super Bowl, remember Kobe a little bit. That'll be at 1:30. So, and Coach Jeff Walls, the women's team, plays Team USA Sunday. So, whole lot of moving parts. He'll join at 1:45.
Fabulous. It's a shame they can't all talk to each other. Then I could just sit here. But I guess I have to contribute, don't I? All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and Adam Kaplan will join us. This is really getting worse and worse, but I'm going to hang in there and fight it for you, for everybody. Yay. ESPN Radio, stick around.
We're back here on Fast Break Friday. He's Mike Pratt. I'm Bob Valvano. Thanks for being with us. Adam Kaplan is going to join us to preview the Super Bowl here in a moment. And I'm not going to ask for your Super Bowl pick just yet, Mike. We're getting ahead of ourselves. We'll save that. The great drama.
We've got to leave ourselves time.
Absolutely.
To run across the bridge and make our bet.
I was there yesterday.
Were you really?
You haven't gone to the...
That's right. You had a show there.
The old... I keep referring to it as the boat, but it's not the boat anymore. They built a land-based casino there that's just... The whole thing is spectacular. Really, really nice.
Well, they'll have to invite me over, and I'll come over.
Well, you know.
Listen, I got a little few shekels in my pocket, you know.
It's fun. The sports book is really, really cool. And the casino itself, I don't know if you remember, you used to go and park... And then when you got out of the parking lot, you had that long walk.
Yep.
You had to go all the way down to the boat. The minute you get in the where you used to start that long walk, that's the casino now. So you are at you park your car,
you get into
your car, you're 15 feet from the casino floor.
Made it easy.
It's fantastic. And the sports book has I think it's 80 some odd. I forget how many TVs, 84 inch TVs, and it's a really, really fun place.
Somebody tweeted out a picture. It might have been you or somebody else of the sports book in the
seats.
Looks
great. Yeah.
Oh, that looks
couches.
Really nice.
They have what they call man caves. You can reserve and you can rent them basically, but it's not really a rental because whatever you pay for them, you get credit towards at the bar and restaurant. So it's really not a. It's kind of like going to a place where you had a minimum if you went to a bar or something. So.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, so they have it's a big, beautiful sofa. And they have a couple armchairs. And they got coffee tables, and then they have a Sony PlayStation, and they have a TV there. And he said, "You have the control. You can watch whatever you want." He said, "You come in here and watch Days of Our Lives if you want to. You don't have to, but you can you reserve them." And for the NCAA tournament, they're all sold out already.
I bet
The first 2 days are all sold out.
They're creating a mini Las Vegas.
Oh, that's so much fun.
My brother goes. I've never been. My brother goes, and he has a ball.
It's very, it's a very cool place. If you got a few friends, the TV's, as good as you may have it at home, this is even better. It's fantastic. And, of course, then there's restaurants right there. And if you feel like you're bored, you want to go play a little bit, the casino's right behind you. And it's very, very cool. Very, very, very cool place. I guess we're not having Adam Kaplan. I'm going to take it. Is that right? Nick is ignoring us.
He's at practice.
Adam Kaplan?
Yeah, he's at practice getting more information
on
for
the
us.
Teams?
Yeah. Who do you like in this game?
I feel very not strongly. But I will take San Francisco.
I agree.
Because the only reason I say that is because I learned a long time ago, I don't know why this is, at some point early in the year, in every sport, somebody catches my eye and I go, wow, they're for real. And more often than not, my mother taught me in life, go with your first instinct. And early in the year, I said the two best teams I thought would be in the Super Bowl would be San Francisco and Baltimore. And obviously Baltimore stumbled, but San Francisco's there. And so I don't want to backtrack on that. I think they're good, and I think they got a heck of a chance. So we'll see.
I liked San Francisco from the start of the playoffs.
Did you?
Yep. Yep. I just like them. Like the makeup of their team. They got a good quarterback. And I just thought that, they were – and they got – two home games to start the whole thing? I mean, come on.
I feel like I like to be right in my prediction, so I would say, for San Francisco. But there's a part of me that would like to see Andy Reid win because, he's been at it for a long time.
Sure.
Kyle Shanahan's still like 12 years old. He's going to probably have maybe other chances. You don't know how much longer Andy
can. Well, that's true. That's a good point. And you having been a coach and me having been a coach, we have a soft spot in our heart. For a lifer.
For lifers, and he's a lifer.
Yeah, no question. I've got to ask you, I would imagine you didn't watch the Kentucky-Texas Tech game, but a funny, funny thing happened.
Actually, I saw some of that game. I didn't see any of your Vanderbilt game, but I saw the Texas Tech game.
So, as a coach, you always want to be able to have your offense in front of your bench in the second half, right? And so, the first half we were going away from our bench. The second half, we're going right at part of the student section, shooting foul shots and baskets and everything. So in the second half, I didn't notice in the first half because they didn't do this to their own players. But when our guys went to the foul line, they had three guys. on the bottom row of the student section, right by the floor. They had bathrobes on, and they had Speedos on.
I saw them.
And they
them.
Were flashing.
I saw
the
them.
Fast shooter.
It may not have distracted your shooters, but it distracted me as I was watching the game. I was like,
how much free beer have these boys had?
Oh, man. That's really taking one for the team right there.
Yeah, that was wild. But what a great atmosphere. Georgia was a great atmosphere. South Carolina. And, of course, whenever you come down here to the Yum Center to play Louisville, it's always a terrific atmosphere. But Texas Tech was second to none. I mean,
really?
You know, oh yeah, those folks were in it, man. They had a blackout with T-shirts for the students and anybody else who wanted them. They sell alcohol there. You know, somebody got some liquid courage for that ball game, and it was rocking. I mean,
did they change the rule on this? I thought if your arena was on campus, you couldn't sell beer. Did they change the policy?
By league, they voted.
Oh, okay.
And because, the SEC.
Because Louisville played Boston College, and their arena is right on campus, and they were selling beer.
Yeah. Yeah, they changed.
So it's like conference now?
Yes. Huh. And I don't know about the Big Ten, but the Pac-12 Pac-12 out west, you got the Big 12, ACC have all allowed, maybe some other
the
ones.
The SEC doesn't allow it?
No. They may have had one or two. No, they don't. I don't. They had a vote, and they voted it down.
Wow.
Of course, they serve that stuff in their suites, of course, you know.
But, of course, for the proletariat, they you know.
Well, you and I are down on the floor. What the hell do we care?
No, that's a good point. Absolutely good point.
So tell me, how do you think, since we don't have Adam, how do you think these – Cardinals are developing now. What's the difference between February 1 and January 1?
I don't think people still are giving them the respect they deserve. I'm telling you, Mike, college football has ruined it for everybody because they watch games now as if you're still being judged, like figure skating. And unless you come out and play 40 minutes and light them up like a Christmas tree, I mean, you played pro ball. Maybe it's because I grew up in New York and I'm more exposed to pro basketball and that mindset. There's a whole bunch of games on any given night in the NBA where a team that's 12-40 has a 15-point lead on a team that's 40-12 at halftime, but nobody freaks out because they wait till see what's going to happen at the end of the game. And then, you know, there's so many games, you don't have time to linger on it. So the next night, you just get ready for the next game.
Exactly.
But in college, man, if you don't play great the first 20 minutes and just, you know, as the, you know, Jacob Rupert thing, take a 10-run lead in the first inning and then slowly pull away, that's what they're looking for. And so, you know, people, they were not first half. Boston College played really, really well. I mean, they were making shots. They were running their offense. Got me thinking, by the way, about the way to attack a pack line. You know what they were doing, which they didn't do on film, but they did this night. And you say it all the time. You know, the other guy's got scholarships, too, and he's got full-time assistants, and he's got film.
Yep.
What they were doing was they played so fast. I'm not talking about the transition from defense to offense. I'm talking about they ran their sets, but they ran them. It looked like an old film that they'd sped up. Guys were coming off screens and catching the ball on a dead sprint, like giving it to a football player on the run. And why is that important? Because you know the pack line is predicated on getting that defense never losing its shape, always in shape. Well, they made it hard to keep the shape because they were going so fast. It was unbelievable. And Chris even said that after the game, so we didn't see that on the film. They were never doing that before. So sometimes you got to give credit to the other guy. But then he made a good adjustment, and then they played zone, yay, in the second half. Because I'm a guy, I don't think it's going to be your main defense, but I love having that as
like
part of your arsenal.
Absolutely.
And it was a perfect game. Now they no longer could go fast. Now they had to try and pick it apart, and that's hard, the mindset. So they started to get impatient. They forced passes. Louisville got steals. They got runouts. They made dunks, and all of a sudden the game got broken wide open. And I was like, so it's a long-winded way of telling you, I think it was another significant night in the development of the team. They learned early they kind of needed Jordan to win. Then they learned they could win without him. Then they, but they also learned he can have big nights, like he had 37 up there. They needed another shooter at the guard spot. Perry has stepped up now and is starting to shoot the ball. Darius Perry, he's really come on. There's no question the freshmen have come a long way. David Johnson, who's got that size, he does some things some of the other guards can't do. He's getting a lot more experience, and he's had a lot of as Chris says, he's doing a lot of the good is outweighing the bad thing right now. He's still a freshman.
That's freshman. Right.
But the good is outweighing the bad, so you live through it. And then Sam Williamson, he's a coach's guy. He just comes in. He's always got his hands. He comes flying across the lane, keeps the ball alive on a rebound, knocks it around, gets it. He's not hunting shots, but he can score. So they have some depth. They're starting to understand who they are. The two big kids inside have... You know, it's been a different guy each night, but by and large, when you put their stats together, they have a pretty good night usually in the post. And their defense all year long has been pretty consistent. So they're as good as anybody I've seen in the country. They're not so good that if they don't play their A game, they can't get beat. But, you know, that's what I was going to ask you a little later in the show. Who would you put on that list in the rankings if we were to do categories with an A group, a B group, and a C group, and then leave the others? The A group are teams that have the best chance that they're going to be making a deep March run. The B group is a team that they haven't been so you're thoroughly convinced, but you know what? If they get it going, they have a chance to make a deep March run. And then the C group is a team, are teams that will probably get a bid, but you're going to have to see more from them before you think that they will really do anything going forward.
But they could beat people in a tournament.
Yes, they
right?
could. You know, write them off. And yeah. All right, so I look at that, and I think, just my opinion, the teams that are in the A group, and there's a lot. These are teams that could be Final Four teams. But that's why I say you can't predict they'd go to the Final Four, because I'm going to give you probably 12, 13 teams. How can I predict they're all going to the Final Four?
Well, and before you get into that, to your point, there's no super team, no
exactly.
team that separated
nope.
themselves. But there's good teams, but there's a lot of bad teams out there. There's a lot of teams that really struggling talent-wise. But that first, 20, 25, there's some keepers in there.
So these are teams I think that all, if you played the tournament 100 times, would have the better chance to go to the Final Four than many of the others. It goes by rankings. I should say yes to Baylor, yes to Gonzaga, yes to Kansas. I haven't seen San Diego State enough to make an intelligent evaluation, so I leave them off. Florida State, yes. Louisville, yes. Dayton, definitely yes. Villanova, they've been up and down a little bit. I'll give them a lukewarm yes. Duke, yes. You know who else I'd put on the list? Seton Hall. Kevin Willard's team is really good. I think they're legitimate. I'd give them a yes. I'd give you guys a yes, even though you're 13th right now. I would put them as a yes.
How about Oregon?
I would put them in the B group.
Okay.
I would put them in the B group. I would put that second group. I would, God bless this phone. I would put
West Virginia.
West Virginia's in the B group. I'm sorry, Michigan State, you'd think should be in the A group. Right now they're in the B group for me.
They have not been able to put their game together consistently. They've been very erratic.
I think Maryland's in the B group. Strong B group, though.
Butler.
Butler's in the B group. Auburn's in the B group. Now, I don't know what you do with teams like you. And again, it's no knock. These have to be all good teams. Would you put them in the C group? Like, what do you do with Rutgers? What do you do with Penn State? What do you do with Iowa? What do you do with
LSU,
Illinois?
Texas
what
Tech.
What do you do with LSU? I don't know. I would put them. I would guess. I'm having seen Texas Tech now against you guys, and then when Louisville played them, are they even ranked? They're not even ranked. I think they're dangerous. I
would agree. I would agree.
I think like Arizona's that. Dangerous. Arizona's not ranked.
How about Illinois?
I haven't seen them enough, but I guess that guy's doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, they were tied for first. They may still be no worse than second in the Big Ten.
But, I mean, Arizona and Texas Tech, I might put in that B group. That's how good I think they both are. But that C group, what I would say C group is probably Rutgers, Penn State. I guess you got to put LSU in the B group. Some say you should put them in the A, but I'll put them in the B. And then
throw Houston in
Houston, Iowa.
Yep.
And then what do you do with like Indiana and Ohio State? Are they in the C group now? Or are they?
By the way they're playing, I would put them in the C.
Okay.
I think Ohio State is better than that.
having played them and watched them, but I think they both get in the C group.
Right. And then the D group are teams that, you know, they're not even sure you're going to get a bid, but you think they probably will, but it's a longer shot. You haven't seen anything from them to lead you to think they're going to make a run. And that would be the Floridas of the world, the Purdue's of the world, St. Mary's perhaps. That's what I would put in that.
Colorado?
Colorado, when I prepared for their game with Arizona, I would have put in the B group, but since then they have not been so good. So I think I might put them in the C group.
Right in Washington, started out well, and the bottom's kind of falling out on them, but you know they've got some talent out there. They really do.
I don't, where are they? They're not even in the also receiving votes, are they?
I think they're not even receiving votes.
So it's hard to, you know. What about Memphis? They've been falling.
I've been disappointed. Yeah, it's been a struggle for them. No question. How about VCU? Put VCU in that same category.
Have you seen them?
Yeah, they got a nice club. Dayton went in there and beat them, but they got a nice club, yeah.
Dayton's another one of those teams I saw early and was like, wow, they could make a run. They're really good. So how many teams did I mention? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I've got 10 teams that I think are the – and that, again, that usually how it works out is those 10, there'll be somebody, a couple, that'll be in the Final Four, and then somebody from that B group is going to crash the
party. Absolutely. And you might even – you know, one of those teams in our C group there, Bob, you could have two in the A and one in the B, and somebody out of that C group could get hot and find a way to get there. I mean, Texas Tech would have been in the C group last year, and they found their way to the Final Four.
Yeah, well,
I mean, that's an example, no, right?
Absolutely. And that this is one of those years where I feel like a team that's, you know, okay – but from a power conference, could get hot at the right time and make a deep run like we saw South Carolina do. You know, those are the teams that I think are dangerous. A team that you weren't even sure is going to get in, and then all of a sudden they get in and they go, you know, reel off three or four wins in a row. So,
is there anybody back east that you would put in that category that might be out of the Big East, the old Big East?
Let's take a look
at that. You got Nova, of course. You've got them, and you have Seton Hall. But who else back there?
Well, that's a damned good question. Creighton's 5-3, maybe them. They're 16-5 overall, maybe. But I haven't seen enough out of them, really.
Yeah.
Marquette, same deal. Those three are the logical ones, Creighton, Marquette, and Providence. But I wouldn't.
How about out of the old Colonial that Dayton and VCU were in? Richmond's a pretty good team.
What are they in now? Not the Atlantic 10. It is the Atlantic 10.
Yes, Atlantic 10. You're right.
Well, a team that nobody's talking about, but they're very quietly 15-5 and 7-1 in their league is Rhode Island.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Dayton is 7th in the country in first place. Rhode Island's actually ahead of VCU. I think they're dangerous, too. I don't know where else I'd look in that league.
Okay, I thought Richmond was having a good year, but maybe
Richmond's 5-3, 15-6. They're down, tied for 4th, but it's a four-way tie for 4th. St. Louis has had they've been good. SLU's been good.
Yeah, they've had some nice
wins. They're 16-5 and 5-3 in the league.
Yeah, they've had a couple head scratchers, but they have had some nice wins. Yeah,
I'll tell you the thing that is intriguing. Every league looks the same, though. If you look at the league, there are 2 to 3 teams that you think are not only good, but you know, you'd put maybe in that A category. And then after that, you don't even know who else is going to get in. You know, usually leagues are like, these three are in and they're Final Four potentials. Then there's three here that we know are locks, but I'm not sure how far they'll go, but they're in. I'm not even sure you could call a lot of teams locks. Like in the ACC, for example, you've got Louisville, who you think can make a deep run, and Florida State and Duke. I'm not even sure who else gets in. Virginia, Syracuse, they've all still got work to do.
Yeah, Lenardi says there's 5 in the ACC, 5 in the SEC. Now, we missed a team, Bob, that I've watched, and I like them.
Who's that?
Wichita State.
You did say that.
They could be
and
dangerous.
They've been there before, which is a factor.
He gets three guys that are tough, physical, mid-sized players. Then he gets a couple really good outside shooters, and that works for him.
But Big 12 is the same thing. You've got Baylor is number 1, Kansas is 3, West Virginia is 12. I still go West Virginia in that B group, but maybe they belong in the A. But all three of those could make a deep run. Then who else are you putting in from that league?
Texas Tech.
TCU's 4-3, Texas Tech's 4-3, Oklahoma's 3-4. All those teams are 13-7. Everybody's still got work to do.
Yeah, I don't know the strength of schedule for any of those teams, see if that could be an overriding factor. But I would say Texas Tech helped themselves by pounding West Virginia.
Yeah, they've got to win over Louisville early, and your game was a very good game as well. So, yeah, I think they belong in. But the maybe most fascinating league is the Big Ten, because they may send, I don't know, eight teams, and they none of them may be seeded higher than, like, 3 or 4. I mean – right? I mean, you've got Michigan State's 14th, Illinois' 19th, Maryland's 15th, Rutgers is 25th, Iowa's 18th, Penn State's 24th. If you went by four teams on a seed line, you'd have a 3 seed or a 4 seed, a 5 seed, a 4 seed, a 6 seed. And those are the best teams in the league. So it's very strange. They'll send more than any other conference, but I don't think they have anybody that they can hang their hat on as a real strong contender.
Well, I think they've got some teams that on given nights, Bob, when the offense is working, that can be dangerous. And I think they've shown that, like Illinois. But Michigan State, how about Michigan? They had all the offense for a long time, and now they're struggling to get any W's. And their defense is just so mediocre that when those shots aren't falling, they cannot lean back on their defense.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, by the way, I really do want to spend some time, because I like numbers, looking at this. I forgot the guy's name already. Tom Tompkinman, whatever the hell his name is. What's his name?
Trevick?
Torvik. There we Torvik. Go. Torvik. I can't remember his name. But him and Sag and KenPom. But, I'll be honest. I think KenPom gets all the attention now. But I think Sagarin is every bit as accurate assessing the strength of the team. But what KenPom does well is gives you a really good idea of what the strengths of individual teams are, this team. And I think that's what this other guy does also in terms of, where they rank their offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency.
Well, Sagarin's been around for a long time.
Texter says, can anyone explain what happened to DePaul? Nope, I can't, because that is – that what the hell happened there? What
bottom
happened
fell
there?
Out.
I mean, they didn't go from 80 to 50. They went from 80 to 10. I mean, aren't they in last place? Didn't they drop all the way to last place in that league?
I think they were 0-6 in that league at one time. They may have come up with a W.
Unbelievable. They are 1-7 in the league.
1-7.
And they started their season, just to put it in perspective, to Paul. Let's take a quick look here. They beat Iowa by 15. They beat Boston College by 5. They beat Minnesota by 5. They beat Texas Tech by 5 in overtime. They lost to Seton Hall by 8. And then they got into January, and it was just Providence beat them. St. John's beat them. Villanova beat them in overtime. They beat Butler. They got a win over Butler. And then DePaul beat them. Creighton beat them by 15. St. John's beat them by 13. Seton Hall beat them by – they only have one win in January, but the one win is against Butler. So I don't know what's going on with
them. I would say check their roster. I haven't seen them play, but I know, and I'll bet you they have quite a few freshmen and sophomores.
Think so?
That would just be a guess. Maybe not so.
Let's see if I can find that out.
Being erratic and inconsistent sometimes with teams – the other thing, Bob, is that...
Let's see. From the top down, they go junior, sophomore, senior, sophomore, junior, sophomore, freshman, freshman, junior, freshman, junior, freshman, junior, senior, sophomore, freshman. So they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 freshmen, and 1, 2, 3, 4 sophomores. So they got 9 of their players are underclassmen.
And the other thing about league play... This just jumped out at me when we went to Texas Tech. Why league play is so difficult? The coaches, the staffs in the leagues, the respective league, whatever it is, they've got tons of tape over the last 2 or 3 years on each team. And they get tapes for every game this year. And they know exactly what you're going to do, pretty much down to what part of the game you're going to do it, right? And that's what league play is about. That's why it's difficult to win
in the league, particularly on the road, if you don't bring your A game and you don't out-execute somebody, because they know exactly what you're going to do. To start with your warm-ups, they're going to tell you what to do. And I think that's one thing people lose track of, how familiar these teams are with each other.
All right, we'll take a short break. We'll come back. It's Fast Break Friday. Thanks for being with us on ESPN Radio.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.